Do one thing right now before I go ahead and get started in the message. I want to first of all say how excited I am about yesterday being able to have, I don't know, we probably had about 20 people out at two river entrances on the Santa Fe River. And man, it was just encouraging to see newbies in the church. They've been with us for, you know, quite a while. But they're not here this morning that I can tell. Maybe they did too much yesterday. But new friends of ours, he just had his second spinal fusion. Probably, I think it was in February, so in March. And he came out there yesterday at Rum Island. And listen, he beat me to every person out there with his cane. And he introduced himself. He handed out whistles for all the people getting in the river. His wife handed out waters. And what's so crazy is, he just had his second spinal fusion. He's been, you know, going through a lot of pain for a couple years. And his wife is from Colombia, Bogota, Colombia. And they live here in High Springs. And so, you know, you have someone that speaks English, but it's struggling. But it's amazing to see two new converts. They just recently have given their lives to the Lord as of last year, and yet she was speaking to every single person that were not really from the U.S., so to speak. Venezuela, Nicaragua, Honduras, where else? Puerto Rico. So she really got a chance to engage and invite people to Fellowship Church and connect with them. So I'm just excited to see that. You know what I'm saying? I once served with a pastor one time. He was in his 50s, and people would always wonder, man, why are you always so fired up? He said, when was my fire supposed to die down? Because you see that so oftenly. People in the church, their fire just dies out. He said, if my fire was supposed to die out, why was I given a fire? Think about that. But I want to take some time right now. We're going to pick up our offering. We'll get that done. So if you guys can begin to prepare whatever it is God has set in your heart to give and just add a little bit. That's typically what I try and do. Whatever God tells me to give, I say, you know what? I don't want to just fight you, God, down to the penny. I'm just going to round it off to the next dollar, next $10. You guys feel me? How about you when you first started giving to the Lord? Did you get a calculator and take your gross and just income and just make sure you didn't give 11%, you didn't give 10.2%. That was me. So I'd always give a check, and back then it was probably like $26.38. You know, and that's awesome. I mean, look, we gave. I mean, and it was sacrificial. I had to eat all week long away from home working with $10. That's what I made it off of. Little Debbie's and tomato sandwiches with Miracle Whip, baby. That was it. But I know for you, just like me, you've grown a little bit, and it feels good. It doesn't even hurt quite as much when you just kind of, God, you're more than good to me. You're more than good to me. You are more than good to me. I look at Crystal and Drew, and I see that. You know, they're just, God, you're more than good to us. You're more than good to us. So we're going to pray with the offering right now. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a giver at heart. God, you have given us so much. God, in a society and a culture that always sees the lack, that always sees what we do not have. God, would your people, would your children, God, be able to clearly see all that you are, all that you do, and all that you give. God, give us the revelation, Lord, that when we leave here, Father, we can't take anything with us but our relationship with you. So God, help us to be diligent in giving to you, Lord, what you have shared in your word numerous times and what you've spoken into our hearts. And Father, as we're giving here this morning, I pray for each and every person who is filling out a Connect card, that God, they'll be a recipient. Your word says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over in my bosom. So God, I pray that as we give this morning, that you would spill into other areas of our lives. Amen and amen. ushers, as soon as you get those connect cards, I want you guys to come up here. As soon as you get all the connect cards and all the offering and tithes, just walk right back up here. How's everybody feel this morning? How many were ran over by a Mack truck? Any Macks out here this morning? How about a Peterbilt? Peterbilt? Freightliner? Yeah. You know, because sometimes, like, you get run over by a truck or feel like you did, and you're like, I saw it. It was a Mack truck. One of those flat snub nose. You know what I mean? Just like, bam. Still got the little bulldog imprint on you. Dude, there's like no humor here this morning, Mike. Is there something I'm missing? How many of you would enjoy being away in a foreign country from your spouse and your children for a year, sleeping in a can, bunk beds with your head this far from the ceiling? Let's just say Iraq, Afghanistan, some of those areas. Does that sound tempting? Anybody ready to go? Eating MREs every day. Anybody? I want us right now. There is someone in our midst that I got the chance to pick up this week from the airport. I got a chance to take over to Publix so he can grab some roses for his lovely wife. Can we just give one big, big, big applause to a person who has given his life to help protect our country? Can we do that? That's Mr. Shane Groton. Could you just stand up, my brother? We love you, man. None of us know what it's like. Okay, I don't want any money. These are all the connect cards. You ready? I'm just going to shuffle them about. What we're doing here is we're going to, today's message, actually, for those of you who don't know, it's I want smoky bones. I don't want creaky, cracky, aching, painful bones. I want smoky bones. Damon, you're losing me. Can I get my lovely wife up here to come on up? You got to close your eyes, baby. I know I've done that to you before, and it really, it was a trick, but I want you just to close your eyes. I'm just going to let you pick out whichever one you want. You ready? You ready? All right. All right. Here we go. Just pick out anyone you want. Ah, close your eyes.
They're closed.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. Can you read that for me? Callie Delaney, and where might she be this morning? She's where? She's in the restroom. All right, so finders, keepers, losers, we baby. Can you bring that over to Callie? So simply by filling out a Connect card, not only do you get a chance to win a $25 gift card, grab some grubbage. That'll go a long ways for one person because I doubt she's going to feed the whole family, right? Right, when you win something, do you really want to share? Come on now. But guys, think about it. You get prayer requests. You get email addresses. You get told, hey, this is what's going on right now. Please pray for so-and-so. And then you get notes like, I just want to go eat. So she's really hungry. So y'all pray for her too. I'm not going to give any names. But anyway, guys, glad to be here this morning. Glad to be out yesterday and see you. Did you have a good time over at Highway 27 Bridge? Yeah, you got a chance to hand out some whistles. Good, good. We didn't burn it. I was the cook. But we had some nice little hot dogs, and it was just somewhat refreshing to be out there. So today, listen, guys, we're going to start a message. We're actually right smack dab in the middle of our message series titled Get the Word Out. And yesterday was an attempt to get the word out that there is a church that is out and about. One young lady came over to us and asked, would you guys happen to have an air compressor? I'm trying to fill up a tube or what have you. And I was like, I may have one in my Jeep. I don't know, because whenever we go off-road riding, you got to let the air out of your tires and you got to fill it back up, you know, so you can climb rocks and stuff. So I'm like, it may be in there. And sure enough, I had an air compressor in there. So I went and got it and started filling up. And I walked up there, and there's this college girl. And there's like three or four guys in these big four-wheel drive, Super Duty, four-door, Power Stroke diesel trucks. And they're just sitting there twiddling thumbs. And I'm like, ain't none of y'all know how to blow up a tube? So I'm sitting there getting this thing filled up, and they're not really interested in what I have to say. But guess who was? the young lady who needed help. And she's like, well, what are y'all doing giving out whistles? I said, well, you know, it's required by law that any moving vessel along the water, you should have a whistle, some sort of sound-making device. Are you serious? I never knew that. I'm not going to have a whistle. I said, well, go get one. So she goes and gets one. She comes back, and she's like, so you guys are with the church? I'm like, yep, I'm the lead pastor, and this is what we're doing. We're out on the river a lot. We're just trying to connect with people. Well, is it like a non-denominational church? She was just trying to figure out, why is a church out on the river handing out free hot dogs, water, and whistles? She could not put it together. I assume by her questions, she had some sort of interaction with the church at some given time. Wouldn't you believe so? And she was just so, she thanked me time and time and time and time again, and the little compressor just wasn't doing what I wanted to do. Naomi came up and visited for a second, and I said, hey, my daughter Naomi. She's like, your dad's being the good Samaritan. And she's like, this is the best part of my day. That's what my dad always does. She said, we'll be on the river, and we can't even find our dad. He's out helping someone else. And you know what? Naomi's been, she's been at a place where she's seen me pull over on the interstate and help people with a flat tire and this and that. And just to be able to model that before your children, it should go a long way, right? So anyway, just being out there, being with our people, but getting the word out. Today we're going to be talking about I Want Smoky Bones. I Want Smoky Bones. And you guys will get the full picture as the message unfolds today. I Want Smoky Bones. The scripture that we're looking at is Jeremiah chapter 20. For those of you who are not familiar with that verse, I first learned of that verse when, I guess she was probably in her 50s, a lady that really was on fire for God. I mean, she would preach at a drop of a hat. But she was also going through a number of treatments with a very, very painful disease that she was going through. And even in the midst of that, she quoted this scripture. She said, you know, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just not talk about God because I'm going through this? Am I supposed to not just preach His word because I'm going through this? And she started crying, like with a panic. She's like, I just can't keep it in. It's like fire shut up in my bones. And I'm like, a demon's fixing to manifest right here in this woman because I didn't know the scripture, you know? And she just said, it's like, I got to get it out. Am I supposed to hold it in? She's like, indeed, no, I can't. And she just got herself all preached up, and she just walked off just preaching, you know? But I was like, man, I want to find that scripture. And this was like 15, 20 years ago. And I'm like, wow, the word of God is like a fire shut in my bones. I'm weary. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I'm not going to ask how many people in here struggle with that. Think about that. God's word is like a fire in my bones. I try to keep it quiet every once in a while, and it just has to come out. Don't you want smoky bones? Don't you want bones that just have a little aroma of fire? Huh? Some people like the smell of a little fire. Amen? Well, how do we discover that? I think the way that we discover that is beginning to understand the purpose that God made us for, to be able to walk in our destiny. See, anytime I connect the word fire or something shut up in my bones that I just got to get it out, I think about people who have discovered why it is that God even caused you to be a little bitty fetus, and then you grew up, and then you had an opportunity to hear the gospel and accept the gospel, and then God begins to unfold His will for your life. That's what I think about. When I think about people who are fired up for God, I think about people that understand that, you know what, I'm not going to be here forever. I need to be about my Father's business, just like Jesus was. And that's what I think about when I imagine who is on fire for God. And so many people just really shy away from that. Think about how many times you have convinced yourself not to do A, B, C, or D for God. Some of y'all probably went all the way to Z, because I have. I'm not going to do all these things for God because I got all these reasons why I'm not going to do. But you know what? I think that the buck needs to stop at some time in our life, and we need to shut the mouth of ourselves that says, Damon, you'll never be able to do this. Why? You can't do this. You don't know enough of the Bible to do this. That's why we're Preaching the Message series. Get the word out. You got to get it in so you can't get it out. So for all of us who say we can't get the word out because we don't have enough of the word in us, what are we trying to do? Trying to help you get it in you. Amen? And just to hear Robert get up this morning, man, and quote Hebrews 4:12, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome. He's a teenager. He's got an attention span of a gnat. And yet he memorized the scripture. Come on now. You know that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You go let a teenager show you out and memorize Hebrews 4:12? What about 2 Timothy 3:16? Anybody remember that? Talks a little bit about God's word. Anybody? Anybody remember half of it? What? Huh? Anybody? Wow, we need to go back. I'll preach last week's message again next week. How does that sound? No? No? Understanding our destiny and our purpose for which God has created. You know what I hear a lot? I hear, you know, it's just hard being a Christian. It's just hard being a Christian. So many people kind of shy away or they back away from being a hardcore, devout, not just church attender, but a Christian, a person that actually believes what they read and what is preached, and they begin to put it into place in their life, right? I always hear, it's just going to be so hard to be a Christian. But yet, I know this is going to be very, very shocking. You may not have seen this on the news this week. I know there's a lot going on. You may not have read this on Facebook, but guess what? Life is hard. Did y'all see that on CNN, Time Magazine? Life is hard, right? But what do? Every day? You get up and what? You get up and live it. You get up and get back after it all over again. Even with spinal fusions, either with, you know, with cancer, with rotating cuff surgeries and knee replacements and hip replacements. Guess what? You get up and do what? I'm talking open heart surgeries. You get up and you do what? You press on. You keep on going. Life is hard. But yet you get up every day and you push forward. Just imagine. You guys, close your eyes for 3 seconds. One, two. Just imagine what your spiritual life would look like if you had the least amount of effort you give to getting up every day and fighting this hard life. What would your spiritual life look like? Come on. You know what? Spiritual life may be hard, but it's a lot easier than regular life because you're doing something that God wants you to do, so therefore you have a helpmate. You have the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the power that He gives us to be able to do the things that seem impossible to us, right? But yet it's impossible for me to perform brain surgery on any one of you, any candidates. It's impossible for me to do that, but in order for me to do that, because I feel ill-equipped, right, I will have to spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to gain education, right, and certifications and tests so I can then perform something that is impossible to me. But with God, all that's already been paid for. That's why I chose not to become a surgeon. See, because I let Jesus pay for my schooling. Amen? Jesus has already paid for your schooling. He's already given you the know-how to be able to perform heart surgery on yourself. Go figure. Can perform heart surgery on myself with God's word. You can help others perform heart surgery on their hearts, spiritually speaking. Some of y'all wackos don't leave here with a scalpel and the Bible, okay? You guys got me? Like, just, I knew you would. I got a pocket knife, you know? Understanding our destiny. Jeremiah 29 says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak of His name, if I say I will never mention the Lord or speak of His name, His word burns. Well, Damon, this is scaring me. The first week of this message series, you said that God's word is living and active, and I love that. And you said that it was sharper than any two-edged sword, that it cuts going in and it cuts going out. I really don't like. See, that's why the seats are getting green. Because the word will cut some stuff out of you, right? It'll just, right? And it's nasty and it hurts, but guess what? What did I say, guys? When He's removing things, the word of God is removing things from our life, guess what? That's one of the ice squares, the ice tray squares that are being emptied so that more of who can get in? More of God can get in. He said, His word burns in my heart. I suffer from GERD, like seriously. I have had heartburn since I was a kid. It's crazy. But you know what? I also know what it's like to suffer from the word of God being shut up in my bones and me trying to hold it in. You know when you get around those people that just talk darkness, just nasty, just wickedness, and you're just like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. But you just, I just got to share this with you. I just got to share one thing. It comes from the Bible. And you just have to give them that encouraging word. You guys remember that story I told you about? I was witnessing to a cashier at a Super Kmart in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because I used to witness to everyone all the time. And I started witnessing to her, and she stopped, boy. She didn't do that, but I mean, I saw it. It was like an aura. And she said, I'm going to be sitting on a hot rock next to Satan. And she didn't smirk. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Step away and nobody will get hurt. She was serious. Like there were, I'm like, ooh, and you, they hired you. And they still hire people like that, right? Even demons need a profession. But what I'm getting at, guys, I didn't let it stop me. I was just a little more careful about who I witnessed to. I would test the waters first. You know what I mean? I would see how she treated the client before I got there. You know what I'm talking about. You go to pay for something, and the person that's, they leave there just violated and hurt by the cashier, and you're like, I'm going to go to the other line. I'm not really feeling led to minister to this person today, but we should be. We should be. So if I see y'all skipping lines, I know you're not up for the challenge. God's word is like a fire shut up in my bones. I think about being close enough to God that we would see something like was seen and recorded in the book of Acts. You guys know that story. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, that they were all together in one place. You know, somebody wasn't fishing or hunting on Sunday morning, right? They weren't washing their cars, sleeping late. Y'all see that? It says they were all in what? One place. And then suddenly. Look at your neighbor and say, suddenly. Suddenly a sound of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. How many of y'all want a suddenly in life? How many of you want a suddenly from the Holy Spirit? Just a suddenly. No hands, that's no problem. I'd be scared too. Because it says right here that a sound came from blowing of a wind, like came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated in the building and came to rest on each and every one of them. All of them, as a result of the suddenly, all of them, the Bible says, all of them, even the ones teaching the three-year-olds, all of them. Even the ones teaching the 11-year-olds, all of them. Even the snotty-nosed brat that's coloring on the wall with permanent markers every day of the week. Guess what? The Bible says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do that. And I don't know how much your scalp has been touched by the Holy Spirit. I got a few burn spots right here. But what I'm getting at is to be filled with the Spirit of God in a way that you begin to speak in an unknown language, not only to you, but even those that hear you sleep talking at night, they still don't understand. You guys get where I'm going? Your life is changed forever. Your life is changed forever when the fire of God begins to permeate. It begins to go through all the areas of your life. All-consuming fire. God doesn't do little small burners in your life. He doesn't just want you to sit on this little small three twigs and try and get things cooked up with Jesus. He's all about consuming area. He's all about consuming acreage and acreage and acreage of your heart. Amen? A song that we sung, we said, you provide the fire, I will provide the sacrifice. Fill me up. And what that's about is God does have an all-consuming fire. He doesn't just want to catch our arm on fire and to purify and to cleanse it, right? He doesn't want to just pull the dross. Those of you ladies who like gold or any rare metal, guess what? It has to be boiled. It has to be, the heat has to be turned. It has to be burned so that all the impurities, the things that look like gold, but they're fool's gold. You feel me? It has to come out and be risen to the top, and then it's scooped off. Not only does it hurt that you got to be boiled by God, but then he takes off the things that you fought your life, went through two or three divorces, trying to hold on to the very things that God's trying to pull up out of you. You following me? You've worked at seven different jobs trying to hold on to something, and the whole time God was trying to bring you to another level and get this part out of your life. Pull out the dross in your life. You provide the fire, God. I will provide the sacrifice, Lord. I'm going to sacrifice my life before you. Lord, would you turn the heat up? This is not our prayer language, is it? God, would you turn the heat up in my life? I'm so stagnant in my walk with you, God. Christianity has become so boring. Would you just turn up the heat in my life, Lord? How many anybody prayed that this week? That's desperation. That's status quo not satisfying anymore. I just don't want to be Damon. Damon is jacked up. Damon is messed up. I don't want to be Damon. I want to be who God wants me to be. Anybody don't want to be a Damon? Thank you. We got one. Maybe you don't want to be you. Maybe if you sat down in front of a mirror and really saw really what's going on, you wouldn't want to be yourself. And that's where we should go before God. Say, God, turn the heat up. I'm tired of being just regular old David. I'm tired of being just regular old John. I'm tired of being just regular old Scott. I want to be on fire. I want to be on fire. I don't want to be just Devin for the rest of my life. I want to be Devin on fire. Some of y'all may be loved and liked by tons of people. But where does that stand in comparison to being loved and liked by the Almighty? The Almighty. You think about Jeremiah and what he had to go through all in that whole time period. He has been described as a weeping prophet. He got to where he was burnt out. That's a good Christian term we use these days up in the ministry or around church. I'm just burnt out. I'm just burnt out. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But he said the prophet Jeremiah was in a sort of place of disarray. Things were beginning to just really seem totally falling apart, but yet he was remaining faithful to proclaiming the word of God to Judah. But as much as he preached, that's the less that stuff would happen. The more he preached, the more people wouldn't listen. The more he preached, the more people would back away. And he's like, man, am I doing something wrong? What is going on? And it gotten so bad that he began to just begin to bathe in sorrow and as people persecuted him. And the fact of the matter that, you know, Jeremiah was, he was thrown into prison, a well. He was taken back to Egypt against his will, his desire. He was rejected by his neighbors, his family, false prophets, and his friends. Even priests in the audience, they just begin to reject him. Even the kings, why? Think about Jeremiah and how he got to a place where it seemed like Judah didn't want anything to do with what he felt led, what God was leading him to say. It just wasn't meshing. People weren't ready to receive what the prophet had to say. They weren't ready to receive what God had to say at all. And he got so down, so frustrated, so empty that he said, but if I never mention the Lord's name again, if I never speak of his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. And he says, I am weary of holding it in. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. You know God's got a call on your life when it hurts more to hold it in than it does to let it out. You know God's got a call on your life. When you struggle trying not to do something for God, more so than doing something for God, God has put a fire in Jeremiah, and it's unquenchable. Just like Jeremiah had a fire shut up in his bones, and even at the times he was ready to quit, he was ready to give up, that very same fire comes out of this book right here, and especially those red ink parts. And it just gets in you, and it has to come out. It has to come out. That very same fire is the same fire in your heart if you are a follower of Christ. That same Holy Spirit that came down like a mighty rushing wind and tapped people on the heads with the fire of tongues and began to speak in other languages, that same exact fire is the one that came into your being, your spirit, when you proclaimed Christ as your Savior. Do you have smoky bones, or is it nicotine smoke? I'm allergic to smoke. If you smoke, I know you smoke, because I smell it. No matter how much perfume, no matter how many sticks of gum you wear, I smell it. It's crazy. I can be at a red light with my windows up, and I can smell the person in front of me smoking a cigarette. It's crazy. Wouldn't it be nice if people around you could smell the smoke? Wouldn't it be nice if people around you, when you spoke, they wouldn't smell the smoke, but they would smell the smoke? Come on, are you feeling me? Just think about a little bit of crazy stuff with me this morning. Wouldn't it be nice? Because, you know, if they have a fire in the woods, it may start off small, and people just pass by, they never see it. They have no idea that there's a fire in them, their woods. But just like God's fire is all-consuming, that fire is going to go, providing especially with the amount of wind that is breathed out. You can't hide a fire. You cannot hide a fire. Anywhere a fire has been, you can see it. You drive through Olino State Park, guess what? You see where there was either a controlled fire or some idiot threw out his cigarette, or kids were playing with a box of matches. You go by a home. Man, where was I? Just not too long ago. You can tell that the building had burned at one time. It was there. You could see the charburnt pillars. Can people tell that God's word is in you? I'm going to give you five ways that the enemy tries to stifle and choke out the word of God that's in you. Number one is he dampens it with discouragement. Satan will dampen your fire. He'll put a big old soggy, wet rag all over your little fire with discouragement. I've often heard it said that if the devil was a salesman, which I believe he is, if he couldn't get you to buy into whatever he's offering you, his last attempt, his last little gimmick is to give you discouragement. What do you mean by that, Pastor Damon? I mean that he's going to point out to you that what you currently have is not enough. When Brandy and I got married, five, six years later, we built a house, brand new, worked our butts off to get it, and we were living in it, had brand new everything. Well, this guy comes and knocks on the door, and he is a Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman. I'm like, cool, man, we got a new house. We have a new baby. Naomi was, a year and a half old. I'm like, yeah, we need a good vacuum cleaner. We have a good vacuum cleaner. It's practically brand new. But we let this guy into our home, and he brought in this vintage 1970s looking thing. And I'm like, what is that? This here's a Kirby. And he vacuumed this big old square with our vacuum cleaner, and then took the filter out and say, do you see anything? No, it looks good. Our house is clean. It's only like 5 months old. Right? He couldn't sell me on his product. I was already happy with what I had. But then he pulls out the black handkerchief. Y'all laughing like he's been to your house. Has he? He pulls out the black handkerchief and he waves it like this to show me that there's nothing on either side of the handkerchief. There's nothing inside of the handkerchief. He had short sleeves. I was watching. I watched enough Houdini and all this stuff and Copperfield on TV. You ain't gonna catch me like that. And then he puts this black handkerchief over the Kirby intake. And then he vacuums the same spot that he vacuumed four times with my new vacuum cleaner. He then began to cause me to be discouraged in seeing that what I had currently just wasn't cutting it. Because whenever he pulled that black handkerchief out, it was covered in sand and dust. And I'm telling you, my jaw hit the floor. Brady, did you see that? When did you vacuum? And at that time, she wasn't working. She was a full-time home mom, wife, and she cleans house. And I'm like, you let this go by? Not that I care. I'm like, you let this go by? Guess what he did? He discouraged us by showing us something that we already had just wasn't good enough. And yes, we paid $500 for that vacuum cleaner. That was a 1970s model. And we just recently got rid of it at a yard sale here at the church like 4 years ago. But what I'm getting at, guys, that is one of Satan's largest tools. He wants to dampen your fire with discouragement. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be broken down. Don't let your courage be broken down by some sudden trouble. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. That's what he told the Castor family. He says, do not be dismayed. Do not be shaken up and broken down. Let your courage just go down to nothing because of this sudden trouble. He says, for I am your God. And that's what he said. He said, God's never let us down. Now to you, his story and their story and Harley's story would be a huge letdown to you. But he said, you know what? Even though we're going through this, God has never let us down. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Who is at the right hand of the Father? Jesus Christ. Psalms 31:24 says, so be strong and courageous, all of you who put your hope in the Lord. That's where your strength and your hope needs to be, is in God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Had a chance to explain that one scripture to Miss Alexandra, who's from Bogota, Colombia. My wife bought her a little gift because it was her birthday Friday. And on the little gift, there was a little picture that he hung on the wall. And it said, we live by faith and not by sight. And I got a chance to explain to her what that means. That what we see is not really what we see. Or what we see is not really what's there. Because if you could just put on the spiritual lens, the Jesus lens, you will begin to see that the battle is already won. That although you may be going through something that seems like a huge storm, it's just like a little wind when you look at it through the eyes of God. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, we are afflicted in every way. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, we are afflicted in every way. Every way, from the top to bottom, left, right, he says, but not crushed. We are perplexed. We're unable to deal with. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend. It's just too much. He says, we're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. What is despair? Despair is being put at a place where you've totally given up all hope. He says, you know what? We're afflicted from every side. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but guess what? We're not abandoned. We're not forsaken. He says, we may be struck down. Life may throw some hard blows, but guess what? You are not destroyed. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And the second method that Satan uses to dampen your fire or to quench the fire of God that is in you, he tries to smother it out with sorrow. He tries to smother it out with sorrow. Something doesn't go right in your life, or maybe you did something you wasn't supposed to do. Maybe someone did something to you they weren't supposed to do, and then you just begin to bathe in sorrow. And I'm not saying that God likes when people suffer, but it's whenever people are suffering that they're still praising God through it, that's what brings about a blessing. That when you're going through hell on earth, but yet his praise is on your lips, that pleases him. It may shorten the time that you're waddling through that hard time. It may, but what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? Do you have a timer on your praise machine? Do you have a timer on your praiser? Think about that. We'll set it to a little 5 minute. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He didn't answer my prayer yet. And you screw it down to 2 minutes. He praised the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He didn't fix my problems yet. Ting! Lord, did you fix my issues? Did you answer my prayer? It didn't look like he did. All right, I'm going back to the life that I used to have. I'm going back to the mentality that I had last week. You feeling me? No, the Bible says that the sorrow that God wants is in 2 Corinthians 7:10. It says, for the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience leads us away from sin. That's the kind of sorrow he wants. Yes, he wants you being sorry for the things that you're doing, but instead of just going back to the same old, because it feels okay, the kind of sorrow that God wants you to be sorry for is the one that makes you walk away from that sin. It makes you walk in repentance. It says, leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance. How many times people tell you they're sorry, but they do the same thing over and again? They don't turn away from what they did to you. That's how we are with God. Lord, I know that I'm supposed to give. Lord, I know I'm supposed to serve. Lord, I know I'm supposed to pray. Lord, I know I'm supposed to fast. But I don't. But you still go back and do the same thing. That is not the kind of sorrow God wants. God wants sorrow that brings about repentance. Because if you don't repent, it says right here in 2 Corinthians 7:10 that it results in spiritual death. When the righteous cry out in Psalms 34, it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. You're not alone. You're not alone. I had a chance to tell Pastor Jeff just about a month ago because I was going through and I still have some little aftermath winds that kind of blow through in my life. I said, Pastor, my friend Jeff, I feel so alone. And I never thought I'd ever say that as a pastor. I never thought I would have to say that having Mike as a man of God and Nelson as a man of God and other mighty men of God around me for me to say I am so alone in this. And until you walked in these shoes, you have no idea how hard it is at times. But the Bible says, the Word of God says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. It says, many are the afflictions. Why? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them or delivers him from it all. Don't let the devil snuff out your fire. Amen? The third point is choke it out with controversy. That's another tactic that the enemy loves to use up in the church. Easy. He tries to choke your fire out with controversy. Controversy. Everybody say controversy. I have preached messages that have been controversial to many people. I'll see people 4 months down the road and they'll be like, oh, I quit going to church because you preached, you said this in your message. Now, please tell me what I said in my message because I don't know what I do half the time. And they'll tell me what I said. I'm like, and you left the church because of that. Good, because that was God's word. And if that's how you feel about it, I apologize. I'm like Jeremiah. If I just try and keep it in, guess what? I'm the one that's got to deal with the fire in my bones. Get you some. But we choke it out with controversy. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, pursue faith, love, and peace along with those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Maybe you're just surrounded by the wrong people. Maybe you're not surrounded by anybody, and that's okay. But you need to be surrounded by people whose heart calls upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Not trying to get you up in church, not trying to get you up in a religion so they can begin to manipulate you and get you to do things that you weren't going to do even when you were lost. Come on. Flee. Run. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Guys, don't get connected with conversations that you know the end result. There is no entertainment in being in controversial conversations. It says right here, this is powerful. Please write this down. Please circle that scripture on your notes. It says right here, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach. That means you need to be able to teach and you need to be able to be taught. Are you teachable? When we preach God's word, does it make you mad? Or do you go home like, man, I'm glad I heard that. I've been dealing with that for a while. I'm just ready to lay it down at the cross. I'm ready to get rid of it. It says, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. That means you can put up with stuff a lot better than you used to, especially the evil things. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. Instead of Jack slapping, my son says, slap Jack. He hadn't got it all figured out. I'm fixing to slap Jack him. I'm like, no, son, you ain't going to slap Jack no one, and you ain't going to Jack slap no one either because you're only 9 years old. You leave the jack slapping and slap jacking up to me. But what I'm getting at is, right here, the Bible says that the follower of Christ, the one who is being enduring evil, he's being patient, he corrects the opponents with gentleness. If you correct your opponent with gentleness, let me tell you what happens. It says, God may perhaps grant them, he may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So if you just gently go about correcting someone, it may come to their realization that, you know what, you are telling the truth. And I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to repent. God is the one who does that. Brings back to the truth that they may seem. It says that they may cause them to come back to their senses. How many of us need our friends or people around us to come back to their senses? And you try and slapjack them like Aiden wants to do. Get out of it, you know, snap out of it. But it says right here that God's the one who does that. He gives them knowledge of the truth, and then they'll come to their senses and they'll escape the snare. Ooh, how many times have I had to tell people, it's not them you're fighting with. It's Satan. He's got them trapped. It says right here, then they come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by Satan to do his will, not God's will. Ton of other scriptures that support not being involved in controversy. Because when you get involved in controversy, all of your attention, I'm talking about myself, all of your attention, it could be controversy with your own self, all of your attention begins to go into the fight. Ooh, I'm just in it. Ooh, I just like how that, ooh, you saw that? Yep. Ooh, I said that. I'm thinking that. I need to say this. You guys, girl, I'm going, and you get so, you're feeding all of your energy to the fight, to the controversy. Let me build a case. Let me just get madder and madder and madder. I'm ready to rip this place down. Instead of saying, you know what, God? This really doesn't amount to a hill of beans, whatever that means. I'm just going to focus on what matters to you. The fourth way is the Satan. He tries to snuff out and quench your fire. The way he does that is through personal inconsistency. Bible says, so why do you call me Lord, Lord, but yet you don't do what I say? That's in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but yet you don't do what I say? Do you guys know that there's a war going inside of you? For the desire of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desire of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing what you want to do. And what you want to do is you want to do what God made you to do. But because we're feeding the wrong side of our body, our spirit, our soul, and we begin to fulfill those desires, it's at war with the desires that the spirit yearns and longs for. There's inconsistency. I'm excited for God. I'm mad at God. I'm excited for God. I'm mad at God. I'm on fire for God. I'm running from God. And what does that do to your fire? It just begins to smother it out. Amen? Scripture Titus 1:16 says, such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. Now, you may never say, God, get out of my life. God, I don't want to listen to you. God, I don't want to have to do anything. I don't want to do it. But the Bible says right in Titus that some people may claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable. They're disobedient. They're worthless for doing anything good. My question is, who are you discipling? Where have you gotten the word to? Where have you gotten the word out? And when are you giving to invest in God's kingdom? Because those are crucial areas that verify that what happened in your spirit is real. Are you giving? Are you going out and reaching? And are you raising? Fifth thing is the enemy uses. He tries to extinguish your fire with the evil deeds of this wicked world, which has nothing to do with your incompetency and my inability or my incompetency to walk out the godly life. We live in a wicked world. Listen, there's enough wrong in this world that every Christian on the planet will be affected by the wickedness of this world. In some horrible, unconnected way, guess what? We'll all be affected by the wickedness of the world. That's just enough to choke out our fire for God, to extinguish it. But you know what the Bible says? It says in 1 Peter 3:17, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good. If that's what God has for you, it's better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing wrong. It says, remember, it's better to suffer doing what's good than to do what is wrong. If you're going to go down, wouldn't you rather go down for doing what's right? If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down doing what's right. Right? I can easily choose wrong, just like you can. Do you know how to mess up a marriage? Raise your hand. Come on now. You know how to just destroy it, right? Do you know how to destroy a relationship with a friend or your own child? Do you know how to just totally mess up your testimony, right? But if we're going to go down in the book, why don't we go down for doing something good? Worship team, come on up. Bible says, Ephesians 6:16, that in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Don't let the devil extinguish your fires because of the wickedness of the world. The Bible actually tells us we have something that extinguishes his darts, that extinguishes his fire. Two can play at that game. Some of y'all get a little weary, a little nervous when you start talking about, should I taunt the devil? Should I fight the devil? Should I even say his name? Should I even confront him? Yes, we should, because it's already been done. We've already been given the power to do so in Christ. Ephesians 6:16 says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all fiery darts of the enemy. Even the darts that nobody sees or hears that are attacking you, the Bible says you just hold up the shield of faith and it extinguishes every single arrow, every single dart the enemy throws your way. It extinguishes it. As he begins to play, my question to you is, the fire in your heart not burning as strong as it once was? Is the fire in your heart burning as strong as it once was? We will allow people and children or co-workers to play with certain things in our presence, right? How often do you allow your children or those who are visiting your home to play with fire in your house? Not often, unless everyone's inebriated, right? Everything's funny then. The point I'm trying to make, guys, is when we talk about the fire of God, just like we wouldn't let people haphazardly play with fire inside a place that we care for, because it has power. One little bitty spark has power. I said one little bitty spark has power, guys, to change your life. Your whole place gets burned down, it's changed your life. That same amount of power, that one little bitty spark in your life for God, can show up in many, many different places. It can affect you in many areas of your life. The only way that you'll get that spark is by getting God's word in you, like Jeremiah did. Because if you get it in you and you keep it to yourself, it's going to be painful. Because you know you're not doing what God wants you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, right now. God, I know that we squeezed a lot into this time here this morning. And God, I pray for those who may be struggling with impatience. Lord, let them know that I'm not insensitive, I'm not arrogant. But God, we run the roads and we buy food for lunch and we go through the menial tasks and things every single day. And God, we're 3 years, we're 10 years behind in our spiritual walk, God, because we're so focused on scratching off all the things we need to do. Oh, but God, we don't spend enough time in your presence. We don't spend enough time, God, at your feet. And Lord, I know we have some people here this morning. They hadn't smelled smoke in a while when it comes to being spiritually charged and on fire for you. And I'm not saying that out of judgmentalism. I'm saying it because if it happens to me, it can happen to them. And it can happen to them, it can happen to me. Oh God, would you set us on fire? God, would you breathe life into us? Let us not be content with just complacent Christianity. God, may this stuff come alive in our lives. God, we don't want rituals. We don't want religion, God. We want a relationship with the God who just spoke words and things were created. Oceans, planets were just created. The sun created by a spoken word, the same very word that we're studying here this morning. God, would you set us on fire? As he begins to sing, my desire is that you would join with him. That you would join with him as we begin to sing about the air that we breathe and what God does for us and God does to us. Let this be your last word here this morning as we sing. Listen, the altar is here. It's open. God's ready to bring the fire. If you're willing to bring the sacrifice, if you're willing to just, you know what? That burger doesn't taste as good when I'm being disobedient to God's call. Those French fries aren't as crispy because I stayed a little bit longer at church today, but I'm grateful I did. The altar is ready for you, and so is the Lord. Amen.